When you view it from afar, the city is silent, a cluster of towering spires against the sky. But as you move down, across rooftops, over rivers, past factories and rail yards into the center, the city comes alive, jostling, turbulent, bellowing in a thousand voices.
Taxi! Taxi!
Mark it down, $10.
My friends of this great city!
Find the lady flowers! Find the lady flowers!
Signals, crosswalks, the Sherry Carlton Towers, the glass and concrete canyons, rooms with bath or showers.
Hurry, hurry, do I hear 550?
The Philharmonic concert, the Blue Place, me too.
The traffic cops, the billboards, the milkman out at dawn. The lights along the freeway coming on and on and on.
CBS presents The City, an impression for radio with your narrator, Frank Goss.
There is a cave within the Mount of God, fast by his throne, where light and darkness in perpetual round lodge and dislodge by turns. In the moment before dawn, the city waits in antiseptic quietness for the new day. Stone, steel, cement lean heavily against the dusky sky. In the moment before dawn, the city is a desert where no man has ever been, and the cool wind goes about its morning erosion with careful certainty. Brick and wood, cement and asphalt, steel and stone of the city sweat in anticipation of the dawn. The miracle of morning occurs. Deftly, cautiously, morning slips through a crack on the horizon, expands on its way down from the heavens. The movement is from the east. Pompously, with great reptile dignity, the sun crawls along the jagged edge of the city, peering intently with an unblinking single eye into every shadow. The mute city grows bright and wet with morning.
Like that every morning. What's the idea, huh? Don't you know some people are trying to sleep? All the time banging those cans around.
The city comes to life.
Awake, darling.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, my darling. Good morning, my darling. Darling, darling, darling.
Oh, good morning, my darling. Good, good. Good morning, my darling. Darling, darling.
To those in love, morning is another wonderful gift given to each other.
Mrs. Corsi, it's morning. Mrs. Corsi, I brought you breakfast. Mrs. Corsi.
To some, there is no morning in the city. The noises of the city at morning lean and crowd each other, jamming into windows, through doors, inside, close to the steel and cement. The noises of the city at morning creep up carpeted stairways and drift unnoticed into rooms heavy with slumber. He has a small face fitted to a small head. He sits up in bed and looks wildly about. His eyes shift with great cunning. Slowly, he leans over and opens the drawer of his side table.
Oh.
He lifts a handkerchief from the drawer, a Gideon Bible, a box of matches, a deck of cards, a candy bar, and from under the lining paper, in the back of the drawer where it would never be seen, a key! He jumps out of bed and hurries to stand in front of the mirror. He looks at the three-day growth of red beard on his face. His eyes shift quickly to the right and left. Slowly, he brings the shiny key in front of his face. He smiles in the mirror at himself, showing his teeth. And then he winks. A little red-bearded man winking at himself in the mirror is a far cry from a stately mahogany banking office.
Again. Just tell me that again.
He was a good psychologist, too. He said that the guy took the key because he wanted someone to know he's alive. That's all.
Ah! One of our most trusted employees walks off 3 days ago with a master key to our safety deposit boxes. No one can get in without the master key. I want him and that key back here today, you understand?
Yes, PJ.
I've talked to all the newspapers, and they've promised to play the story down from now on. But do you know what this can mean, do you?
I think so, PJ.
A run on the bank. Every depositor I've got will want to withdraw.
Yes, PJ.
Now you find that guy and get that key back here fast. Understand? Get that key.
And in another part of town, morning is announced with breakfast.
Good morning, Jessica. Bacon smells good.
Here's your paper, Sam. Sit down, drink your juice. Weather report says it's going to be nice. Something to be thankful for.
See, they still haven't found that crazy bank teller. Think he's in the city somewhere, hiding out. Poor fellow.
Your coffee, Sam.
All right.
Must be crazy, taking a master key to all those safety deposit boxes and then running off with it. What good will it do him? What good will it do him, Sam?
Who?
The crazy bank teller, Sam. What good will it do him to have that key? Banks have a master key. Box holder has a key. Takes both keys at once to open the box. Sam. Maybe he's going to disguise himself and go back to the bank.
No, Jessica, I don't think so. They say he's sick in the head. Complex of some kind. He just wants people to know he's alive.
Sam, have you heard anything?
I'd tell you if I did, Jessica. The estate office will let me know. It's up to them.
You'd think they'd let you know by this time, Sam. You've worked for the Spaulding estate for 22 years, Sam. In one place. Disgraceful. Garden of Art, indeed. Might just as well let you work in the downtown building like other men, but no. Garden of Art.
Someone has to take care of it, Jessica.
Why? No one ever goes there anymore.
Spaulding Garden of Art is a city landmark, Jessica. They couldn't just close it up and forget about it.
All those old statues.
Colonel Spaulding had a good idea. People can't travel all over the world to see originals. So if they're copied and put in a garden right here in the city, everyone can see them. Free.
Plaster and cement. No one wants to see them.
I applied for the transfer, Jessica. Getting late. I better go to work.
Don't forget your lunchbox, Sam.
Goodbye, Jessica.
Goodbye, Sam.
And for a hard, square-built man, the morning is a search.
Yes?
Anybody registered here from Shower Springs, Indiana?
Shower Springs, Indiana? Let me see.
That's my key, Byron.
Thank you. No? No, there's no one from Shower Springs.
How many hotels around here?
Well, in this block, there's the Strand and the Duclair and the Horizon.
Been to them. Guess I'll start through the telephone book. Thanks.
Certainly, sir. Certainly.
On a quieter piece of earth that is a part of the city, a Hubbard lawn sprinkler, spider-like, takes care of its expected duties, spinning in undulated, sensuous rhythm, spraying the green, close-clipped lawns of Spalding Memorial. The morning sunlight drifts lazily into the man-made stream of rain, creating short, precise, ugly-colored, man-made rainbows. And the man of the Garden of Art goes slowly to his work. The man of the Garden of Art pauses at the entrance, and slowly his gaze searches out every familiar object within the garden walls. On this morning, as on 22 years of mornings, he reads with reverence the bronze letters settled snugly in the cement base of the statue before him.
Spalding Memorial Garden. A garden of art instituted by late Colonel Alfred W. Spalding, one of the early founders.
His gaze shifts upward now to the bronze noble figure perched slightly askew on the cement base.
Good morning, Colonel.
He salutes and laughs softly to himself at his little joke. Morning is in the Garden of Art. It has crossed the tall buildings of the city and come to Spalding Memorial. It has dampened 100-odd pieces of statue. Morning has crawled into each fiber and begun anew its familiar work of cracking and spreading. Morning is fatal to man-made stone. Each replica, each copy, from Venus de Milo to the bust with a missing ear, even resplendent Colonel Spalding in darkening bronze, knows that morning is a mortal enemy. The guardian, the Garden of Art, has removed his battered felt hat now and replaced it with a black, round-crowned one with perforated sides. The visor is shiny, black patent leather. The soldier of the garden is in full uniform now for bronze Colonel Spalding. The metal tab above the visor says so. Garden of Art. And in smaller letters, Guide.
Spalding Memorial. Sounds good, darling.
The city landmark. The guidebook says so.
Well, come on. Oh, now, don't look that way. Everything's going to be all right. You just wait and see. Smile.
Sure. Let's look at the Garden of Art.
Oh, hello there. You and the lady want to look around?
Yeah, if it's all right.
Sure. Go right inside. Make yourselves at home.
We want to see everything we can in the city. We're on our honeymoon.
Honeymoon? Well, say now, that's fine. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Being on your honeymoon, you be sure and look at the big white statue at the far end of the garden. Most young people do.
Which one is that? Goodness, there's so many of them.
Look there, near the wall.
Oh, I see. Oh, this whole place, it's beautiful. Darling, if only...
Well...
Yeah, sure is. Gosh, I've never seen anything like this.
Well, you can look as long as you want to.
Oh, how perfectly lovely. We can stay all day. Then tonight...
Don't worry, darling. It's all right. Sure, we'll stay all day.
Well, say now. I'm mighty glad to have you folks. Just make yourselves right at home. Mighty glad to have you. Oh, I almost forgot. When you get to that bust back there in the corner, don't mind. It just needs a little fixing. His ear.
His ear?
Yeah. Fell off last fall. Been trying to have somebody come out and fix it. Wrote out 2 complaint orders on it. Office kind of forgot, I guess. So don't mind his ear being off.
The hard, square man in the blue suit puts his hand in his coat pocket as he stops at the desk of the Redondo Hotel.
Yeah. Yeah, what is it?
You run this place?
Yeah, so what?
Oh.
Anybody register here lately from Shower Springs, Indiana?
No one new. Been here for 2 weeks.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Sure. Anytime.
Day has taken over the city. A sloth in bright colored skins, it has searched in every part of the city, peering and prying. Day has advanced, mastered and overcome the city.
And so, eaten your lunch yet, Sam?
I was just starting to when you phoned.
I think you'll like the blueberry pie, made yesterday. Sam, did you hear anything about your transfer?
No.
Well, if you hear anything about it, you let me know.
I'll let you know, Jessica. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Sam.
Hiya, Sammy boy. Eating lunch?
Oh, hello.
Well, what do you know? There's somebody here for a change. Two people. Things are really booming today, Sammy. Some people do anything in their day off.
They just got married, and they've been here all morning. And they said they were going to spend the whole day in the art garden.
Like I say, anything in your day off. Oh, almost forgot what I came for. Letter for you.
Huh?
Blueberry pie. Looks good. Guess the downtown office wants to know if you're still alive, Sammy. Spaulding Estate. Spaulding Building. Here.
Letter for me.
So long, Sammy boy.
Colonel Spaulding's executive officer in the patent leather visor stares at the brown envelope on his desk. The cut of blueberry pie midway to his mouth remains a forgotten thing in his hand. A dripping berry, searching for gravity, falls with blueberry awkwardness. The city at high noon. The city at high noon and her children come to feed. They surge from caves in the brick mountains out into the asphalt valleys. They run like frightened, hurried, hunted things, wild things in search of food, escaping time.
Plate special on two. Draw pile side of bacon.
Well, look at his hair. And right away, she begins making cracks.
Make it a pair without.
Give me any more in a cup. Y'all make for a week.
Caroline ham sand, side of French fries.
Beef on rye, cup of coffee, piece of apple pie, and what are you doing tonight?
Cream and sugar.
Imagine wanting to know what time I came home.
Take it or leave it. No substitution. Number two, a pair with soup.
Got it.
The city's children in gigantic swarm feed at the noon hour. At noon in the city, there is a stenchy quietness in the newspaper section of the public library, crowded with broken, tired stories of men. Ageless stories, a week old.
Miss?
He wears no hat. His face is still red bearded.
Miss?
His clothes are wrinkled, worn.
Miss?
Yes?
I've looked all over the racks. Are these all the local papers?
The Evening Sun, the Gazette, the Chronicle. Yes, that's all. Were you looking for any particular story? Perhaps I...
Oh, no. I they kind of let down on a story after a day or two, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, they take a story right off page one. They always got to have something new, some new development.
Yes, they do. That's newspapers.
Oh? Well, thanks. Thanks a lot. Goodbye. Excuse me. Goodbye.
For a moment, the spectacled, pencil-sharpened, unpowdered librarian watches the nervous little man. He's familiar in a vague way.
Something new.
On the grounds of the public library, there is a sundial. The nervous inquirer is watching it now as the smallest shadow grows before him. He studies it intently. He watches, fascinated, as the shadow moves without perception. And still the shadow moves, a vagrant thing like ponderous time itself, without perception. The shadow on the sundial moves to the right with great metal dignity. The shadow on the sundial moves for the entranced watcher. The shadow on the sundial moves, moves on into time. There is something about a small office in the afternoon that is irresistible to sleep. His hat with the military air is on the desk now. He's not so much Colonel Spaulding's officer. The brown envelope bearing the news from the Spaulding building lies unopened beside the hat.
Good afternoon. Go right in.
I'm just coming out. I've been looking around.
Must have missed you. Can I show you anything?
Oh, no. I've been everywhere in the city today. I was just looking around.
Well, stay as long as you like.
Got to go now. Got something important to do. Do many people come in here?
Not many. Why?
I just wondered. It's kind of run down, isn't it? Ever find anything in here?
Mm-hmm.
Ever find anything in here like money or a hat or an umbrella? Or maybe a key, huh? Yeah, did you ever find a key?
Did you lose one?
No. I just wondered.
If I find anything, I always turn it into the Spaulding building, lost and found.
Oh, sure you do. Sure. That is, if you find anything, I just asked. A good place to lose something. Awful good place.
Yes, I suppose it is.
Heads are hollow, aren't they?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, see you around.
Goodbye.
See you in the newspapers. Yeah, so long. So long.
The man of the Garden of Art sits thoughtfully now, and his eyes still ignore the unopened brown envelope. In the afternoon, the city is a tormented thing, sprawled in helpless confusion, angry, tired. And the sky above the city shudders frequently in anticipation of the night. In the afternoon, the city is bruised and battered, in need of a cool drink and change of clothes. In the afternoon, the city is very, very tired.
Are you sure?
Positive. We've had no guests from Shower Springs, Indiana.
I see.
We rarely cater to transients. This is more or less a hotel apartment.
Well, I'll keep looking.
And the square-built man in the dark suit, with his hand still in his pocket, turns slowly, tiredly from the desk.
Well, you made quite a day of it.
Yeah, it was swell. We saw everything.
And we're coming right back here every time we're in the city and spend the whole day just like today.
See, we want to live here someday.
And then we could come and see the art garden every day.
Well, the next time you come, I'll have that bust in the corner fixed. I'm going to do it first thing tomorrow. Just patch right over the hole there and put on a new ear.
Well, we liked it just the same. Come on, darling. We'll have to get back to town if we want to catch that train.
It'll be all right, darling. It'll be all right.
Catch a train?
Yeah. You see, we're from Shower Springs. Shower Springs, Indiana.
Oh, you don't want to go back?
Well, it isn't that exactly. A
couple nices, you two couldn't have too much to worry about. You know, I think you're in love.
Oh, we are.
Nothing else matters. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Don't forget to come back. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, now what?
They found him, P.J.
What?
They found him. He gave himself up. Walked up to a police officer and told him who he was.
Great, wonderful. Where is he?
You better sit down, P.J.
Huh? Well, what do you mean? They found him, didn't they?
Yeah, sure. They've got him all right.
Well, then?
Only he didn't have the key.
No key?
No key.
Well, where is it?
He only told one person where it is.
Let's get that key.
It isn't that easy, you see. He keeps saying that he whispered his secret in Caesar's ear.
He whispered his secret in Caesar's ear?
Yeah, PJ. And they don't think they can find out who Caesar is. PJ. PJ. Are you all right?
I'm fine. I'm great. Just great.
The square-built man has ended his search.
George.
Hello, Helen. No, I didn't find them. I went to every hotel in town.
George, maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah. This morning I was mad. To think they'd run away and get married. I wanted to find them and have it annulled. But you know what?
What, George?
I walked all over this city, went to every hotel, and I had time to think. I've been wrong, Helen. Dead wrong. Those kids will be fine together.
Oh, George, I'm so glad.
All right, come on, Mother. Let's pack up and get the train back to Shower Springs. I want to be there when they come home. Isn't it proper for the father-in-law to give his blessing?
Oh, yes, George. Yes, yes.
At 1700 military time, Colonel Spaulding's executive officer makes a decision. It is quick, efficient, precise, like all military things. With unshaking hands, no military hands ever shake, he grasps the brown envelope. In another instant, the face is torn off. Then, with firing squad determination, he reads the latest communique from the Spaulding estate.
This is to inform you that your request for transfer from the guard...
He reads with watering eyes. And then... he salutes smartly.
Colonel, about that transfer my wife insisted on. It's been denied. And, Colonel, first thing in the morning, I'm really going to fix that ear on the bust of Caesar. Good night, Colonel.
CBS has brought you The City, an impression for radio. Now, once again, your narrator, Frank Goss. Thank you. In tonight's impression of The City, you heard Sam, our impresario of the Marble Orchard, Herb Butterfield. His nagging wife, Jessica, was Ann Morrison. David Ellis and Helen Gerald were the kids on their honeymoon. Herb Vigran was the red-bearded bank clerk who wanted someone to know he was alive, and he still is. Robert Bruce, Byron Kane, Mary Lansing, Tyler McVeigh, and Joe Granby also appeared. Sound designs and special effects were the united effort of our engineer, Bob Anderson, and Harry Essman, our sound technician. Next week, impending disaster hangs over the city. Be with us then. And until that time, this is Frank Goss, saying good night.
The City, an impression for radio, is under the direction of Sterling Tracy, written by E. Jack Newman, with music composed by Lucian Marowak and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.